All right. Good to see you guys this afternoon. My name is Lance. I serve as, let's try it one more time, Chad. Let's see if it works. I serve as a lead pastor here at Bethel Community Church. So glad to see you guys this afternoon. We are in a series entitled Civil War. So if you haven't been a part of this series the last 2 weeks, that's all right. You didn't have to hear the first two messages. This message today, I believe, is going to apply to every one of our lives, no matter where we're at in our relationship with God. All right, we'll go to this one. Let me untape here. Here we go. All right, here we go. If you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, we're going to look at that here in a moment. You know, we've talked about in this series that when you give your life over to Jesus Christ, what comes alive on the inside of you is your spirit. That's what is born again. That's what's regenerated. That is what is renewed. But you also have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the thing about getting born again is that even though your spirit comes alive, your mind, your will, and emotions do not really understand that they are born again. So we all go through this process called sanctification. That simply means is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're being conformed into the image of Jesus. This is God's ultimate goal in our lives, to make you and I look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus, believe like Jesus, and act like Jesus. The hard part is it is a lifelong process. It takes time to be conformed into His image. And so today, if you say, well, I'm not where I want to be patient. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you. You're here today. God's going to do something new in your life today. And so when we look at this whole idea of our emotions, many of us, we might find ourselves in bondage to our emotions. Maybe it's to fear. Maybe it's to worry. Maybe it's to anxiety. Maybe it's guilt. But emotions are a real thing. As human beings, all of us face emotions. So men, listen, in this message, you're going to have to humble yourself. Because men, we like to think, well, I don't get emotional. Oh, I don't struggle with fear. I'm too, yeah, right. Yes, you do. Every man in this room struggles with fear, insecurity, doubt, worry, all of those things. Same just like the females. We're just too prideful to admit it. So we all need to humble ourselves today and recognize, yes, as a human being, I have emotions. But the thing about these emotions are this, is that even though fear may come, because of Christ and His Word, I don't have to get stuck in fear. Fear does not have to run my life. For some of you today, fear could be running your life. Maybe it's guilt. Yes, there are times that I may feel guilty, but I don't have to get stuck in guilt. Maybe it's anxiety or worry. Yes, those are real feelings that I feel sometimes on a daily basis. But thank God, according to this Word and according to the work of Christ in our life, I don't have to get stuck in worry, stuck in anxiety. Some of us, we find ourselves stuck today, but God, by His power, He's going to teach us today how you and I, through Christ and His Word, can actually break out of these things. That even though I may have faced these things, I'm not going to get stuck in them. I'm going to be able to face them biblically. Amen? And John's going to help us. John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 19 through 31. And we're going to learn about a man who has the name of John the Baptist. Some of you guys have heard of this man before. This is actually a man that all of us, especially if you're men in the room, we would love to have met and been friends with John the Baptist. I mean, this brother, the Bible says, wore camel's hair. He had a belt around his waist. He told people what to do. He spoke with authority. In fact, he ate locusts and wild honey. I mean, he was the first real Bear Grylls, the first one. This was him. And this is somebody we want to get to know. He was bold. He was confident. He spoke with authority. He's going to help us today, all right? John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem. And they said, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, "I am not the Christ." They said, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "You a prophet?" He answered, "No." They said to him, "Then who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from Pharisees, and they asked him, then why are you baptizing if you're either the Christ, Elijah, or a prophet? John said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. Last verse. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, allow us to be attentive, Lord, on what you want to say through me. Spirit of God, I give you myself and I ask you to speak clearly through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we come to church, we all hear this word that I'm about to say, and it's a word that some of us might understand, but probably most of us do not. But we hear it over and over and over again. That is the word righteous or righteousness. You know, I first say that word, for some reason, the first thing that comes to my mind is like a stiff, staunched white shirt, kind of like I have now, a perfectly ironed shirt. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind, but usually we think of something that is stiff, maybe someone who is uptight, maybe of someone who is a fundamentalist, someone who just is not very cool, they're just real uptight all the time. But the word righteousness is actually a relational word. It means to be welcomed, to be accepted. It means to be brought in. Many of us, when we think of that word righteous, we think of the opposite of righteousness is immorality. But really, the opposite of righteousness is rejection. And in the Bible, in the book of Romans specifically, the Apostle Paul tells us, he says that for you and I, either we're going to accept God's righteousness or we're going to go seek it out on our own. You ever been on an interview before, maybe for a new job, or maybe you're going to a party, or maybe just a gathering of people? The first thing you do, man or woman, is what? What am I going to wear? How's my hair look? Is this a good hair day, bad hair day? Man, as men, if we go for an interview, is my bald spot showing? Cover that up. I mean, we prepare ourselves, don't we? Think about what we're going to wear, how we're going to look. Why? Because when we walk into a party or to a meeting, our hope is that the verdict of the way they view us is what? Man, I like him or her. I accept him or her. They are righteous in my eyes. I am going to welcome them in. All of us have this, especially around a group of people. It's because our opinion of people matters. And it matters, friend, too much. Too much. The way we think or what we think people are thinking about us, we think about that all the time. Oh, man, what do they think about that? What do they think about this? What do they think about how I look? What do they think about what I say? We are consumed by what people think about us. It's because what we do is that if we don't allow God's standard of righteousness to be our standard, naturally, because all of us want to be loved, we want to be accepted, we want to be appreciated, and we never start with God, therefore we go seek it out somewhere else. As men, we seek it out primarily at our job. Do they like me, the work that I do, the effort that I put in? And we allow that to be our standard that causes us to say, hey, you're loved because, man, look how good you're doing. Or maybe it comes from our spouse. We look to our spouse for the acceptance and love. And so, but here's what happens. No matter who we are, no matter how great we are, we eventually, whether it's us or whether it's our jobs or something else, those things that are not over here with God are going to fail us every time, friend. They will fail you. For me, the struggle that I have is with you guys. I sometimes allow my standard of righteousness, my standard of acceptance to be, hey, do they like me? Do they like what I'm saying? Do they love being a part of Bethel? Do they want to go somewhere else? And what I do is I really make you, and that's not your fault, it's my fault, I make you an idol in my life. Because I'm always looking, hey, what do they think about me? Instead of saying, no, 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 I am, because of what Christ has made me, I am the righteousness of God. I'm accepted by Him. Therefore, again, I love you. Who cares about your opinion? Because why? I know what He has said about me. So for you and I, today, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to examine us. What is my standard of righteousness or acceptance or love? Have I gotten over here? And God in Christ is moving me back here. That's all right. We're as human beings, guys. Listen, emotionally, we're going to battle these things. And the Christian life is a walk of repentance. Get this. It's very simple. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. We're being conformed. It takes time. So you are naturally at times going to lean over here on this side saying, man, God, forgive me. I've been getting my love and acceptance and my appreciation from something or someone else. God, forgive me. I'm repenting. I'm turning by faith. God, thank you. I've repented. Now I'm walking. I'm following after you. So today that could be. See, this is the tug of war that we feel on the inside of us. These emotions and these fears. John can help us today. Here we have John the Baptist. Again, he's a cool dude. And they come to him. And they say to him, look, think about the first question. They ask him, who are you? In other words, John, what is your standard? Who are you? Have you set your own standard you're trying to live up to? Or have you accepted God's standard in your life? Who are you? John clearly said. He tells us, I'm not the Christ. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not one of the prophets. Who are you? And he gives us really the first thing that you and I, if we're going to see these emotional battles, if we're going to overcome them in our life, we have to understand that John had a proper, number one, view of himself. So important. When they asked him who he is, he said, I am unworthy. So much so, I am unworthy to untie the sandals of the feet of Jesus. At that time, the only person that untied sandals was what they would call a slave. So John was putting himself under a slave, saying, in light of who he is, this is who I am. Now, it doesn't mean that John was dogging himself, talking bad about himself. What it simply means is this, is that John understood what true humility was. True humility, get this now, is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Did you get it? True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. That's humility. A lot of times, true biblical humility can look like someone's being conceited or cocky. No, no, no. They're not cocky. They just know who they are in Christ. Therefore, they hold their head up high. Therefore, they don't have what I like to call an Eeyore spirit. Oh, Lord. You know, Eeyore off Winnie the Pooh. I know that's probably not on very much anymore, but that's a real thing that people struggle with, this, oh, no, I'm only this. John didn't have that. He knew who he was. Therefore, he could say, no, 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 I'm not Elijah. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the Christ. I am an unworthy servant. But see, he had a proper view of himself, but he also, oh, here's the good thing, he had a proper view of Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up on the scene, what does he say? He uses this key word for us. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. That word behold means to put forth. It means to capture. It means to see or to observe. Behold. He said, behold. And I love what he called Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now to understand this, we need to rewind a couple thousand years and go back to the book of Genesis. The first time a lamb is ever mentioned in Scripture is when Abraham and Isaac are walking up and God has challenged Abraham to sacrifice his son. And ultimately we know that God did that just to test him. He was going to save him. And as they were walking, see, Isaac was a smart kid. He was probably 12. I don't forget the Bible, Pastor Richard says exactly how old he is, but I think he's around 12, something like that. And he's walking with Abraham, and he's like, Daddy, I see the knife, because he's been around stuff like this before. I see the knife. I'm holding the wood. You got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And I love what Abraham says. He says, son, God will provide. the sacrifice. He'll provide it. And what we see is that when Abraham gets there, he's about to slay. God says, stop. He says, Abraham, there is what? Here we go. There's a lamb. There's a lamb caught into a thicket. You know, the reason why there was a lamb, because there was a lot of animal sacrificed in the Old Testament. Goats, bulls. But a lamb was one of the most submissive animals there were. He would not resist you. What a picture of Jesus. Jesus being the submissive lamb for you and I. Just as he was a picture right there in the Old Testament of saving a life, he does the same for you and I. But John doesn't say, behold a lamb. He says, behold the lamb. The lamb. Meaning it is finished. Meaning this lamb paid the ultimate price for you and I. So when the question is posed, just like it was posed to John, who are you? We can say, man, I belong to him. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a son or daughter of the living God. See, this is what gave this guy John such boldness and such confidence, is he knew who he was. He knew he belonged to God. He knew who he was in Christ. Therefore, he could be bold. He could speak with authority. When you know who you are, friend, you begin to act differently. And because he knew who he was, he didn't care what the Pharisees thought about him. The only opinion that mattered was God's opinion in Christ to him. See, some of us today, some of us in this room right now, you are stuck because you're afraid that if you open your mouth and begin to talk about what you're struggling with, you're afraid somebody's going to find out, and you're afraid of their opinion of you. Or you're afraid, man, if they find out that about me, I might not get promoted. I might not lose my job. Therefore, you're not experiencing the true victory that Jesus wants to give you. Because you're, listen to me, your marriage, if you're married, your marriage is more important than you keeping your job. So if it takes you, and listen, I know this is easy to say and hard to do. Because if you lose your job, you're like, Pastor Lance, who's going to pay me? You? No, I'm not hiring you. So I know this is easy to say and hard to do. But whatever it takes for you to say, something is wrong with me and I need help. And I don't care what him or her think about me. I see what Jesus has done for me. And man, I want that. I want who I am in Christ. I don't want this insecurity and this fear that runs my life to be with me any longer. I want to accept what Jesus has done for me. Oh, he's the lamb. This lamb died for you and I to bring about, just what we sung this morning, to bring the victory in your life, the lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. But what happens again, because we don't allow God to establish, for some reason this side is God's righteousness and this side is everybody else, but for this morning, we don't allow God to establish his righteousness. So over here, what we begin to do is we begin to behold the wrong thing. He said, behold the Lamb of God. But for a lot of us, again, what are we beholding? Our job? Are we holding people's opinion? We're beholding all these other things. Now, temporarily, yes, they may be able to bring some peace and joy. But eventually they will fail. We have to behold Christ. But here's the thing about beholding also. Is that when John called him the Lamb, that part of Jesus, get this, that part of Jesus being the Lamb died when Jesus Christ was crucified for you and I. The Bible says the death he died once for all. One time. See, Jesus is not coming back as the Lamb. Revelation 5:5 tells us, it says, weep no more. Behold, not the Lamb, but what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Jesus part that's in me today, it's not the Lamb. It is the Lion. That's what lives in me. The Lion part of Christ, who he is, God in the flesh, with authority, with might, and with power. This is why John could have so much confidence. He knew the Lion lives in me. See, the Lion, it lives on the inside of you. Therefore, when you look at fear, you can say, fear, you're real. But in the name of Jesus, you have no place in me. God, I command you to leave, and I call the forth the spirit of faith. That's the lion talking. You got to talk to fear. You got to talk to your emotions. You can't just let them overcome you. But who are you beholding? Man, I am beholding. Not the lamb, because of what Jesus has done. He's risen from the dead. See, John didn't get the lion. He got the lamb. But you and I, we get both. We get the lamb, but we also get the lion. And this lion comes to live in you and I. This is how we begin to see these things defeated in our life. Again, I'm not saying, hey, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't face those things. No. You're going to battle those. You're human. You're a human being. Those feelings and emotions are going to come. But how do we respond to them? And also, God has also done something else in your life. He's also given us, in a sense, other lions to run with. You know, here at Bethel, we talk all out a lot. Hey, take a step with us. Get involved in Starting Point. Come to a community group. Why do we do that? Do we think it's just some good idea, or do we think that just because, man, every church does this, we need to do this? That's not why. We do this because the greatest encouragement, yes, is from Jesus. But I want you to know, it also comes from the men and the women that I walk with in spiritual family. Pastor Richard encouraging me, hey, champ, you're doing good. See, this, if you hang around long enough, you'll start hearing us use words like champ, hey, strong, hero. Sounds a little bit corny at the first. It was corny to me, like, these people are weird. What are they? Why are they encouraging one another all the time? It's because there is a sense of destiny in every single one of us, a sense of greatness. And this lion called Jesus is calling it out of one another. We're saying, hey, there's greatness in you, champ. I'm calling it out. We need spiritual family. Yes, Jesus talks to us, but as a church family, we need others to help us. You're going to make it. If you're going through marriage trouble, you can make it. We need a constant encouragement. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Hey, it's all right. God's with you. I know it's painful now. You're going to get through it. This is why we say, sign up to be a part of a community group. Take a step with us to get involved in the life of our church, because it's going to bring so much blessing and so much fulfillment in your life. Pastor Travis is about to come, and he's going to talk about these groups. And it's important that we value getting involved. Is there a time sacrifice? You better believe it. You have to get your kids ready. Yes, you have to do all these things, but I promise you, you will be blessed. Because you don't have to fight these emotions alone. You can fight them in and with spiritual family. Amen? So today, let's allow the Holy Spirit, let's allow the right standard of righteousness to be set in our lives. Maybe it's been over here where you said it. Hey, I've gotten approval from what people think about me. Man, I get my acceptance from what my wife or my husband or my job, whatever it may be. And I realize it's not going to make it. Maybe working now, but eventually it's going to fail. Again, the Christian walk, repentance and faith. God, I'm turning by faith. I'm repenting. God, forgive me of that. And I'm accepting your standard, Lord, who you have made me. Because, sorry, Pastor Travis, one more thing. That's why I got him up here, so I'd shut up. Really, when those emotions come, here's what they're challenging. This is so key. They're challenging the very same question that was posed to John. When fear comes, it's challenging. Who are you? Who are you? When guilt comes, it's challenging. Who are you? All those emotions, thank you. They're simply challenging that question. Who are you? And when you know who you are, then you can talk to those things and tell them what to do. Father, help us today. Let's just lift our hands here in this moment. Lord, we know that on many of us, we struggle with these things. Lord, ultimately, we're human beings, and you know that we're going to walk through them. But yet, God, I thank you. We don't have to be in slavery to them. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we recognize who we are in Christ, that we are welcomed and that we're accepted by you. You call us the righteousness of God. You tell us that, sir. Lord, so we receive that this morning. And God, I'm praying for every for one of my friends. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's guilt. Who knows? It could be many things. And we simply, in the name of Jesus, we command that emotion to come in line with Christ and His Word. We say you have no place in our minds. We say you have no place in our lives. You have no place in our emotions. Emotions come in line with the resurrected Christ and with the line of the tribe of Judah. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap.